The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to the Trade Deadline Edition with your Bastards of Boston Baseball. I am your not-so-cheery host right now, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter/X at Smith_MLB. My friends joining me on this Titanic moment, Jeremy Schilling, JT Schill 20, Chris Felico, Saved by Grace, No E, and Terry Cushman Jr., at Cushman MLB. I am lost for words. I don't even know where to start. I don't know who wants to go first. But the way that Jeremy, you go. This will be fun.
I'm good. I'm not upset. If you guys listened last night, I predicted this. I did not change my expectation at all. So I'm not going to be upset. Do I agree with it? No. But I've been on this podcast at least 2-3 times a week, you know, and in the last 2-3 weeks, I've been saying, and there's been cues out there, Breslow saying it's not efficient at the deadline. He's been dropping clues. Guys, he never got the okay from John Henry. We all predicted they would make more volume moves to have two moves. There's holes in this roster. They're still the holes. Backup catcher, although Wong started a hit. We basically have Garrett Crochet and throw a bunch of stuff up against the wall if we do make the playoffs in a playoff series. But I'm not upset because I never changed my expectation. All the writing was on the wall. We've already gone through this last year with Breslow. It's not Breslow's fault because he wasn't given the okay. So John Henry remains a giant piece of shit. And that will never change until he either decides he wants to win or he sells the goddamn team. So that's where I'm at.
So this is the second year in a row that we picked from the Dodgers dumpster. We went and we got their worst guy because they had much better guys coming back. And that's kind of where the bar was. Now, there was some reports that we were in on Joe Ryan, and there were conversations in the closing minutes of the deadline, but according to MassLive's Chris Cotillo, they weren't even close. They weren't even close. So, I mean, we're at the point now where there shouldn't be any expectations that Breslow is ever going to be able to solve problems during the season. He's not going to be able to adequately address needs. I don't know what he's going to do this winter. You got a lot of money coming off the books, a lot of players that are either going to be free agents, have opt-outs. I don't really trust him to, again, adequately address what we need and make us a championship contender. What we saw today was an organization just wave the white flag and say, okay, fine, we're just not going to compete for the championship this year. If not this year, when is it supposed to be? Breslow just doesn't know how to do it. And he's the second straight executive handpicked by Sam Kennedy.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have said any better, Terry. I'm at a loss. I mean, my relationship with the Red Sox at this point is so toxic. I feel like I'm a battered housewife at this point that just keeps coming back. I have a little bit of faith there's going to be change, and it never happens. We were primed. We're never going to be more primed than we were this year with where we're at coming into the deadline, the assets we had to trade, the farm system looking like it did with the healthy mix at the MLB level, and then in the minors. I mean, we had Christian Campbell. We had, you have the password. You had Blaze Jordan. You had Thibs. You had all these assets. I mean, heck, you could even throw in Casas and Mayer. And I know they're both hurt, but I mean, the way some of these teams were making trades, there might have been someone dumb enough to take them. And we get rid of Blaze Jordan and Thibs for nothing. Nothing. And I've been talking about it for weeks. I'm scared to death Bregman's not coming back. And I get that Blaze Jordan, there's the potential eligibility for Rule 5, but to get rid of him for absolutely nothing. And then Thibs, the only prospect who was at least somewhat interesting in the Devers trade, taking the money aside that we're going to save. Extremely disappointed and frustrated. And I mean, I'm probably going to guess I'm the only one here that's dumb enough to be a season ticket holder of this damn team. And I'm at the point now, next year, I'll probably renew just to go up there and burn the tickets in front of the Fenway. Because honestly, I'm a moron, and honestly, screw the Red Sox at this point.
We didn't even lose a game. Jeez.
What's crazy is that half the group can't be a season ticket holder because we're not in the state. So credit to you for
neither am I, Charlie. I drive 4.5 hours like a moron.
Yeah. That's basically what you're doing is you're donating. So they should thank their donors. That's basically what's happening right now. People are just donating. Staying true to myself, off the air, I'm a different person than I am on the air. I am
four F-bombs right as I hit the go button.
It was dark. It's been dark because, you know, we've been talking about, like, just get one. Fill the hole that you had when you lost Devers. Shouldn't be that hard. You're probably going to have to overpay. I learned a lot about this year. And I learned a lot about the front office. I learned a lot about Breslow. Sam Kennedy is just Bambi on ice, the golden edition. It's just absolute trash. I don't think anyone likes the Boston Red Sox. Players can't wait to leave. No one wants to extend. And if they do, they're gone anyways. It becomes toxic, whether it's either them or something else within the organization. No one likes the Red Sox. No one wants to trade with the Red Sox. It was so abundantly clear when we saw some of the moves that took place yesterday and the day before. They're giving up whatever prospects. Your 14th and 16th prospect. We couldn't have given something better to get something. So the additions, and granted, before we slam them, because it's going to happen. Steven Matz. That's a reliever. He could pitch long innings. It's the left-handed version of Garrett Whitlock. His ERA is better this year because he's not throwing crazy innings like he had when he was a starter. Not blown away by that one. And then Dustin May. We gave away pieces that some of us liked and really wanted and were excited for. But the Devers move, if, you know, Hicks gets sent off or packing, slowly but surely, you're going to have the Mookie Betts 2.0 trade. You traded a player away, and the assets you got, you left immediately. They're already gone. We've already lost one of the four. right? We got Kyle Hicks. Tibbs was another one. Wasn't another Bayo part of that deal? And then there's Harrison. I don't know where Harrison's gonna fit right now, but I just feel like it's another matter of time. Like, we have absolutely had our entire franchise in future doomed because of dumb trades. Whether it have been Duran or Willie or Abreu, one of those two, I told myself one of those two is going. One of them has to go at this point, because like that's going to be the direction this team needs to go. And if we're going to get an elite starter, because we decided to piss away Chris Sale for a player that's now sitting in the minors. I mean, it's offensive and insulting to fans right now that have been loyal supporters of this team. And it's the same crap again. It's the same shit. It's really hard. It's really hard.
So two things on this, the Joe Ryan sweepstakes, I'm not buying it. I don't believe it. I would love to hear the package from the Twins, not from the Red Sox. Twins, tell us what they offered. Was it Yoshida and the bullpen catcher? Because you can't just offer a trade to say that they were interested, which is what they do. And the reason why teams don't like dealing with Breslow is not because they don't like him, probably. It's that when he calls, it's like, oh, here's Craig again. He's trying to offer us Cassis, Yoshida, and some other nonsensical prospect for Joe Ryan. So why would I want to deal with someone that doesn't respect me enough to make a competitive offer? That's the problem. They don't. Craig Breslow, either by his own fruition, or he's trying to be so frugal, or Henry's not allowing him to use certain players and money. His trade proposals are like, Craig, call me when you want me to be serious. And so they report that they've been interested, but yet the package being offered is going to be laughed at by any team in a similarly situated, with their assets. So I don't buy any of it. I don't. My perspective at this deadline was completely different. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I don't think they made a competitive offer for Joe Ryan. I don't think they pushed on it as they approached the deadline. And so it's just all smoke and mirrors. It's all trying to have the perception to the fans that we're trying, when I, in my heart of hearts, know they're not. You know, now, as it were, the big league team is going to be competitive. It's going to be fun to watch. And it's probably going to be good enough to grab one of the last two wild card slots. But they had an opportunity to push the chips in the middle and try to be competitive. You add a frontline starting pitcher, you can win a round, maybe two. And so they punted on trying to make a run. And the message at the end of the year, if we get in, well, hey, guys, we're making progress. We got into the playoffs this year because they chose not to go all in.
My moment of doom came kind of late, although my expectations were low, just like Jeremy's were. But, you know, before I say this, let me just say at about 4:30, I arrived at a park that I like to walk, and it's a mile and a half as the loop, and I plan to do at least two or three laps. That would take me through the 6 p.m. deadline. So I'm like, this is a perfect place to just kind of just walk rather than just sit around and stare at my screen. And the deadline was at, 6 o'clock? So it must have been a little after 5 p.m. We were getting reports that the Red Sox and the Rangers were in on Merrill Kelly, who's having a fantastic year, ERA just over 3. And I've been realistic about Joe Ryan. I didn't think we would get him and cough up the package. If we did, outstanding, but I just didn't think it would happen. I looked at a Merrill Kelly type guy as someone that was a little bit more realistic and that could definitely hold down, you know, a spot in that rotation behind Crochet and Bayo and Giolito. And he's, as everyone's pointed out on all the platforms, he has pitched in the World Series. He's got playoff experience. He's a veteran pitcher. And I haven't looked at what the Rangers gave up, but it couldn't have been a ton. And we lost. And as soon as that happened, I'm like, okay, It's probably Charlie Morton. And I've said all along, I've said it's probably going to be somebody not on our radar. And I was hoping the bar wouldn't be on the floor when, you know, when that pitcher emerged. And it ended up being Dustin May, who is not on my radar. But that dude, I think what this is his first year back from Tommy John. His fastball velocity is down 4 or 5 miles an hour. His command is not great. Ironically, his last start was against us. And I say ironically because last year at the trade deadline, when we got James Paxton, his last start was against the Boston Red Sox. And then they made their next start for Boston. So it's a terrible move. You know, we literally traded for their worst pitcher, like I said. And if you pull up their Savant charts, I'm not going to get into all of them, but you want the chart to be more red than blue. If it's more red, that means you're in the higher percentiles in terms of MLB averages for starting pitchers. So the more red, the better. The more blue, the worse you are. Richard Fitz, Savant chart, much more red than Dustin Mays. He's just not great. I mean, just a couple of the categories. People chase more on Fitz, and his fastball velocity is a lot better. And he's not even a fastball pitcher. That's the bad news. And Fitz doesn't walk as many people. So not a good trade. And I don't know if he's going to make the start. He could conceivably start tomorrow night in game one of the Houston series. That would be normal rest for him. He does have to fly across country, so maybe they won't do it. But if it's not him, it's going to be a Cooper Criswell type guy. But terrible trade. And then one more thing before I pass it back to you guys. A couple of quotes from Breslow. He said, we approached, let me just get it. I tweeted it. All right, I got it right here. He said, we were as aggressive as we could possibly be.
That's a lie.
Yeah, no.
That's a lie. I can't believe he says that. This isn't Sam Kennedy. You said this is Breslow? That's
Craig Breslow.
Lazy. That's lazy and a lie and just.
Well, here's the thing, because I hope you're right, Jeremy, as far as us actually getting a spot. Here's where I pause on that at this point. You've got the Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, the Astros, the Mariners, and the Rangers competing for 5 of the 6 spots, right, that are potentially out there. And out of all those teams, there's only one that didn't even make an attempt to significantly improve going for the rest of the season, the Red Sox. And we also have been known to kind of fumble away opportunities at taking advantage. Like the other day, we lost in that bizarre game against the Twins when everyone else lost. But there's been many games this season where we could have done that and jump over someone or tie them, and we lose that game. And, I mean, some of these teams got significantly better. The Mariners, significantly better. The Astros, reuniting with Carlos Correa, he's probably going to go off now at this point. I can't even believe they got him back. I hope you're right, but I think it's fair to question, are we going to be ring around the rosy and, you know, we're playing musical chairs and we're the ones standing there without a chair at the end of the season?
It's certainly possible.
The issue with me, honestly, though, if you look at it, you're looking at all these trades that are getting done. We made 2 trades, one for a starter, LOL, and one for a reliever who used to be a starter who couldn't start and is now a reliever. He's had blips and moments of greatness, but that's it. Regarding Dustin May, I live in LA, so I watch a lot of Red Sox games. I watch a lot of Dodgers games. That's really it. You know, those are the only 2 teams I really give a crap about now. And I've seen Dustin May pitch. And when Dustin May pitched against us, he showed what complete dominance and absolute exposure looked like in a matter of an hour. He struck out 5 of 6 batters in a 2-inning window against the Red Sox, where he was just mowing everyone down. He mowed down Bregman. He mowed down Story, and he mowed down. I can't remember it was in that inning. I'm not looking at it, but I remember, and I'm like, holy crap, like he could run off a 10 spot. He might strike out 10 in a row if he keeps up like this. Problem is Dustin May throws 20 pitches an inning. So at 85 to 100, he might be through five innings. You don't know if you're getting Jekyll or Hyde with him. He throws 96, 97 at times, but there's no control. There's no accuracy with it. It's like Charlie Sheen from Major League. You might get hit in the dome and the ball starts off, you know, 28 inches in the middle and comes and gets you. That's what's frustrating. And it's the orange-haired version of Jordan Hicks. He can throw really hard, but the accuracy is a problem. And it's, I remember I wanted Dustin May or Gavin Lux as a part of the Mookie Betts trade. Years have gone by, and now I'm like, okay, well, we got Dustin May. It's not moving the needle for this team, I don't think, to be honest. It's tough. You're seeing other players that are getting moved. The Yankees made like five or six trades, I think. They got two different didn't they get both Duvall and Bednar from Pittsburgh's closer, and they got the Giants closer. And the prospects that they gave up, I don't know half of them. I don't know any of those names. So you mean to tell me that they got a more successful or a more, they were able to provide a more rich offer for two closers, and we got Steven Matz and Dustin May? Let that sink in, folks. This is a really hard time.
It's absolutely pathetic. And then let me put this in context for you, in my opinion. It's also the moves they didn't make. So number one, Connor Wong's your backup catcher. I know he started hitting the ball a little bit the last week, but unless there's some complete turnaround, you have a subpar defensive backup catcher that's going to play games that has simply not hit. Toro's your everyday first baseman, platooning with Romy Gonzalez. That's it. I mean, those, especially at first base, that's a major hole. It's just a major hole. They didn't do anything. And I don't think Matt's like slots everyone down. So the way the bullpen's been rolling, that's what we're going to see in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. And I'm all right with Chapman, but Slayton's not close. So this is the team. The team is essentially the same team, the same mistakes, the same, you know, it's all, there's nothing's going to change. So not only the ads, inconsequential to me, other than the pitcher, my God, I forgot his name already, from the Dodgers. He's going to be available to pitch, assuming health, because we've had some real issues with fits, and there's really no Hunter. Dobbins is down, so you need a body. So he fills that need. But other than that, if another guy goes down, you still have the same issue. And now it's almost solidified in my mind that it's going to be Garrett Crochet, Bayo, and Giolito are your three going into the postseason if you get there. And Chris, good point. There's equal parts of chance. I think they personally do get in, but I'm not going to be sitting here surprised if they don't. So it's like they didn't address any of the weaknesses, really. They added a surplus arm and a surplus arm. That's really all they did.
Well, another thing that's frustrating is that there were so many teams that made moves this deadline that realistically have no shot at winning a World Series on paper, that their cupboard is absolutely barren when it comes to prospects. And they traded their only assets for the next 10 years to get guys. And the Sox have a plethora of options in the cupboard and traded none, with the exception of two that they didn't get equal value back. They didn't even improve the roster.
For one of them you had for 5 minutes, right? One you literally just received.
Tim just got off the plane and got right back on.
Yeah, 6 weeks. 6 weeks.
Toodles. It's very, so freaking frustrating.
Here's the other thing, too. Like, you're looking at players that got, like, Mariners, for example, right? Chris, I think you said Mariners got better. They went out, they got Naylor, and they got the party started way before everybody else, right? So you got Naylor, and then later on, you got his teammate. You got Yonier Suarez. So you got two of the bats from that team that is just in full out fire sale mode. They're going nowhere. And if I'm Zach Gallen, I'm out. I know I'm out of there too, because this team is just dumpster fire city. Seattle probably I'm going to say Seattle probably had one of the better trade deadlines, period. I don't think Houston takes a step up here. Yeah, you get Carlos Correa back with that BS left field wall. It's the biggest joke in baseball outside of right field at Yankee Stadium. Crap, just crap situation. The Minnesota Twins, and I forget who it was that shared this, so forgive me. They're also paying $33 million of the remaining $102, $103 million left on his contract. They're so in debt, the whole team just got basically traded. Griffin Jacks, who is one of the relievers I was really excited for, now gone. I think he went to Tampa Bay for Taj Bradley. I think that was that trade. And I would have taken Taj Bradley. What was the package in total to get Taj Bradley? You gave up Griffin Jacks and who else? Because, I mean, at this point, if you're really not going to make any moves and any additions, this didn't tell us that you were serious. As it would have also said the same thing if you had traded Jaron Duran, who's on fire right now, or like Aroldis Chapman. You know, if you trade either one of those guys, you're not serious. But then you have fans waiting until the 31st, like, I wonder who we're getting. I wonder which player is going to join our rotation. And then the results happen. And it's just like, if you guys want to have a feeling, like the feeling that I have right now, outside of just sadness and just disappointment, if you guys want to watch a great video that'll crack you up, just watch the video on YouTube of all the drafted players that the New York Jets have taken in the first round, and they've completely glossed over all-star, Hall of Fame caliber players. And it's like, they're saying, we want this player, and they go and draft some bum. That's kind of how I feel, where I'm like begging, please get us a bat. You know, maybe Eugenio Suarez wasn't a realistic option. What would it have cost for Yandy Diaz? What was the package there? Where were we in any of these other moves for the big names? You can say all you want, but I want the other GMs from other teams to say, yeah, I know they're saying it was uncomfortable, but I'm not sure who was uncomfortable with, because it wasn't with us. Because if that happens, then the book just got thrown at them. You guys are lying to our faces, and now 29 other teams are proving it. You never even contacted us. You didn't even try to make an offer. And I mean, I don't think he's like AJ Preller dumb, but, you know, offering Yoshida, Casas, and like a bunch of like broken pieces, I don't think would appeal to any team. You know, there's a dumb GM out there. Preller's dumb, but he's not that dumb, apparently. And it's just, this is going to be a really hard time. I mean, honestly, I would not be surprised if within the next month, we probably go like on a 5 or 6, 7 game losing streak. And it's going to be ugly, like probably 1 or 2 blowouts, because I don't think the team is happy. I don't think even I don't think the current roster that you have is thrilled about what you have.
The comments from Duran don't suggest that, at least from his perspective. I think it's becoming with better leadership, a tighter clubhouse. Guys are probably going to feel some relief. Guys like Toro, probably Wong, some guys in that bullpen that are going to feel relief and hopefully pitch without that fear that tomorrow they're gone. So there's that possibility. I think the way it's going to play out is they're going to still forget outs, and they're going to miss cutoff men, and they're going to run into bad outs. It's going to be the same team. It's going to be fun to watch, exciting baseball. They're going to blow people out, and then they're going to have a pitcher that comes out and gives up a touchdown in the first inning. I think where we're going to feel it is as we get towards September and other teams have better matchups, and where it's, other than Garrett Crochet, there's no other frontline starter where you're going to say we're a piece or two short, which is the same thing we've been saying this whole month. That's where I think we're going to feel it. And then if we do get in, we're definitely going to feel it, because it's going to be Ace and Garrett and their ace, and then Bayo or Giolito and then their ace number two. And it's going to be a mismatch that we can't, unless there's a surprise start there, we're going to feel it. So I still think it's going to be the same team. It is the same team. I just think as we get towards the important games in September and hopefully October, we're going to be a piece short. They didn't fill the holes in the roster. We're going to feel it at some point.
So I've gone through the notable teams here, and I've got all their notable acquisitions. Let's start with I wrote the Rangers. Should be the Mariners. They got, as we know, Eugenio Suarez, Josh Naylor, two high offensive, you know, performers. Two guys that are going to majorly impact that lineup. And perhaps they finally will have that deep postseason finally. They've got a nice lineup to go with that nice rotation that we salivate over every winter. So the interesting thing is going to be, what's the race for the AL West look like now? We know the Mariners and the Astros are going to make it. Just how will they make it? One's going to win the division. One will be the wild card. Carlos Correa is going back to Houston. I think that's fine for this year. Charlie and I were actually going over his contract yesterday. He's got like, let's see, he's guaranteed through 2028. So three more seasons after this, but then he has like at least four option years, which probably won't be picked up, but they're team options. So, but I like that pickup. He's going to play third base now for the Astros. Jeremy Pena, who was the World Series MVP a few years ago, will remain at shortstop. They also picked up Jesus Sanchez from the Marlins. He's only a 250 hitter, has decent pop, an on-base around 300. I'll be interested to see if the Astros can perhaps raise that ceiling on him a little bit, but they had a pretty good deadline. The Rangers, as we know, got Merrill Kelly. They also bolstered their bullpen pretty good with Phil Maton and Danny Coulom. So they made some significant upgrades. And then don't sleep on the Yankees here. I was laughing at the Yankees, and I know Judge is hurt. I don't know where they're at with him, but assuming he's back in relatively short order, Ryan McMahon has a lot of upside. His batting average is, you know, in the low 200s, but his on base is about 100 points above. I think he's going to be more of a platoon guy anyway, but he's a lefty that plays well at Yankee Stadium. They've got Camilo Doval, Giants eighth or ninth inning guy, one of their high leverage guys. Jake Bird from the Rockies. That's kind of a, you know, flyer type thing. The real intriguing one to me, they got Jose Caballero from the Tampa Bay Rays. He's a middle infielder. He's currently stolen 34 bags, and it feels like 20 of them were against the Red Sox because he automatically steals every time, and it doesn't matter if it's Wong or Narvaez. So I think the Yankees got pretty dynamic, and then we came out of it with Steven Matz and Dustin May. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing with all of those moves these teams made. It's just absolutely embarrassing. And one more quote from Breslow, and you can take it a couple of different ways, but he said, it takes two teams to tango and the other team has to like our players. So I don't know what that means. I know our farm isn't what it is because some of the guys have graduated, you know, Anthony Meyer. I don't know if Campbell is still considered a prospect after that contract, but, you know, he's down in AAA right now. We do have some pretty nice pieces down there, but what I took from it the most, and I mentioned this in the war room and I've mentioned it, excuse me, on some recent shows, I don't think other front offices like the Red Sox. I don't think they view them as a likable organization. I don't think Breslow is the guy you want to take. You know, every family has that one guy who can wheel and deal, you know, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's baseball cards, whether it's random junk that he's selling on Facebook Marketplace, or maybe he buys and sells cars. But that's not Breslow. He's not the guy you take to the car dealership with you to get a sweet deal on a Chevy Camaro. He just doesn't get it done as an executive. He doesn't have the swagger of an Epstein or a Dombrowski type guy. And I think he caves in negotiations. I don't think he navigates that very good at all. And so, like I said in my opening take, there's no reason to believe he's ever going to be good at this. You know, he can evaluate pitching and help the infrastructure, and that's his strong suit. It's funny because he and Heim are opposites. Heim could find value in bats, you know, and with the offense, but he sucked at pitching. Breslow's the opposite. He's decent with pitching, but not good when it comes to bats. You know, I'm not giving him any credit for Bregman. That was a Cora Kennedy move, and Breslow acquiesced. But, you know, the platoons are working okay with Romy and Toro. That's another thing. Somebody tweeted at me, said, imagine sticking with Abraham Toro at first base after the deadline. So I don't know. And if there's an opportunity to replace Breslow, I would do it. And that's easier said than done. I don't think you can do it the way you've been doing it. Fire him at the end of the season and then cast a wide search only for there to be little interest. I just think if another executive, I don't know who that would be, maybe Derek Falvey in Minnesota, now that they blew it up, we've had interest in him previously. Maybe this is controversial. Charlie's going to hate this one, but maybe Jeffrey Luhnow, the guy who architected the Astros. I would do it. Christ. I'm just saying I would do it. He's a smart baseball guy. But if anyone like that, you know, mentions something to ownership of the front office saying, hey, man, I can help you out. I know you guys haven't been getting it done. I think that's how it happens. That's how we got Dave Dombrowski. And that's what I would try to do.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Who wants this job? And actually, coincidentally, Brad, just words out of my mouth hearing you say what you're saying. We had Dombrowski, you had Charrington, Bloom, then you got this guy, Breslow. Who wants to come to Boston? Better yet.
Here's why it would be. That, okay.
Before you answer that, here you go. Ready? Not only do you need to find a GM that wants to come to Boston, you have to find superstar talent to come to Boston. So when you're thinking of people that, you know, architects of teams to come to Boston and recreate some magic, right? Who's going to say, yeah, sure, I'll take the 1 o'clock Delta flight into Logan. I totally would love to see my time there. Knowing full well that the owners don't invest. They get rid of their superstars. People are upset. It's where toys go to die. Do you think the Boston Red Sox have slowly but surely become a borderline poverty franchise? And it pains me to say that.
I think they have. And in the biggest sense of the poverty, it's been with credibility.
Correct.
They have poverty level credibility. But here's why I think it could be different this time. The Red Sox have always had the leverage with dictating the terms. You're going to keep all our top executives. You're going to keep our manager. And that's the way it's going to be. And the Red Sox haven't backed off that. I think the next incoming executive has the leverage now, saying, yeah, I've got a ton of credibility based on my past, but if I come to your organization, I'm going to make the changes I feel are necessary. I don't think the Red Sox are in a place where they can say, no, you're still keeping our guys and you're still keeping our manager. I don't think they're going to be able to dictate that this time around.
I hope you're right, Terry, but I would have thought after Heim, we would have been in that same position. But I do agree now after Heim and Breslow and trying it both ways with guys that have both seen success from the opposite side of the coin. I hope you're right that whoever it is going to have some sort of leverage. It's just, you know, Jeremy's sentiments, and which I kind of share, is I don't know if Henry's going to acquiesce at this point. Is Fenway Sports Group going to show a little bit of dignity and, you know, let down the pride and say, yeah, you know what? We gotta give in. I hope you're right. I don't have faith now at this point. You know, another thing we didn't mention too is the Blue Jays. Blue Jays literally took a flyer in all aspects for Shane Bieber. And I get Shane Bieber's coming back from an injury, but they gave away nothing. Like, I would have given away nothing for Shane Bieber in comparison to what the hell we gave away for what we got.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think Breslow's job is absolutely safe. I think if John Henry was giving him a grade, he'd give him a very high grade. He just unloaded $300 million contract. And if they have enough in this on the big league club to get into the playoffs and get around, from John Henry's perspective, it's an asset. The asset was in the playoffs. It was a season where all the games mattered all the way through September. He saved me a whole bunch of money. He didn't add any money at the deadline. I'm under the second tax apron. Breslow's doing his job. He's following his marching orders. I don't think he's at any risk of losing his job.
He's a great assistant, Jeremy. He might be a world-class assistant.
He's carrying the tote bag for John Henry. He's got his marching orders. He's following them, guys. Like, Terry, I don't disagree with your take if we had a real owner that cared. But that's not what we have. To me, all of these, and I know you guys are probably getting annoyed by it, but all of these takes, they all go back to the guy that has all the power. So when you say at the beginning of the year, you're not going over this amount of money, and then you find out that Devers is not going to play first, and oh my God, Devers is causing some problems here. Well, wait a minute. If we move him, we can save $30 million a year. I know some of these early comments in the chat were, we didn't spend any of the Devers money. We were never going to spend any of the Devers monies, guys. Never going to happen. John Henry looked at it as pure savings.
So I don't think you're being unreasonable, Jeremy. But you know, if you go back to spring training, I don't think John Henry was sitting in the owner's box down at Fort Myers. I'm assuming there's an owner's box there. And I don't think he was like, man, if I could just get out of this Devers contract, that would be awesome. And then, you know, fast forward, a month and a half into the season, he got on an airplane and flew to Kansas City, something he has not done. He has not made a headline, you know, with his own name, with his own actions in several years. But he got on an airplane and he tried to fix the malfunction that was going on between Breslow and the face of the organization. And I think he made a good effort. And Devers was still here for about another month before he finally got traded. So what I'm getting at here is, I don't think he appreciated the controversy. And I don't think he appreciated how it was handled by all parties. So I don't know that having been the owner through the Epstein era, through the Dombrowski era, the Ben Cherington era, I think he's smart enough to look at Craig Breslow and think, man, this guy's making us look like an ass.
I disagree on your first part of the take, Terry. I don't think he went into the season either thinking, let's clear this money. I think the minute Devers became an issue, he went to Kansas City, confirmed it was an issue, and said, in some respects, I think Devers being a malcontent was kind of convenient for John Henry. And so now he can get behind it and say, now let's move this money. But, you know, Breslow's, in my opinion, and I'm not saying I'm right, but in my opinion, and I do feel strongly about it, Breslow is carrying the water pail for John Henry's desires, his wants and desires to save money, be under the luxury tax, simultaneously wants people in the building. He obviously wants to sell out Fenway, and he's doing that because we're competitive. We're 7 or 8 games over 500. We hold a wild card spot, you know, and he thinks he can continue to do that through August and September to potentially make a playoff thing. And then the message at the end of the year, we already know what it's going to be. Guys, we're ascending. Here we are. Now we're in the playoffs. We're going to go next year, and then people are going to believe it and buy in, and the same crap's going to happen all over again. And it all goes back to that John Henry has two mouthpieces. One is is not really a mouthpiece, but Breslow moves the players and the assets of this particular portfolio asset. And then Sam Kennedy is his mouthpiece because John Henry isn't going to speak to anybody. And all Sam Kennedy does is lie. That should tell you that, in my opinion, Henry is getting what he wants out of Breslow.
You know who I'm getting the most disappointed with in the front office or with the organization? This is going to sound like a wild take. Theo Epstein. Why the hell? You were gone. You were a legend. You created the Red Sox that we wanted and needed. A winner that was going to break the curse. And you came back to this damn dumpster fire on your own accord. And you did it in a fashion where now you gave us the hope that you might come here to salvage and save us. But you're now part of the side that's not. Because he's more on the Fenway Sports Group side. And that's the albatross of this whole damn franchise at this point. You know, my 8-year-old son, because he watched the documentary, probably shouldn't have let him with all the cursing, but he watched it on Netflix. And he knows that Theo Epstein's back, because I told him. And when he saw his first, he's like, well, Daddy, why doesn't he try to fix the Red Sox again? And he's 8. And I get that that's probably not the best take, but I started asking myself, yeah, why the hell did you come back and possibly tarnish your reputation and the outlook that we will have on you as fans? For what? You could be anywhere making money. You could have ownership probably in any damn MLB club, with the exception of maybe the Yankees. Although who knows? With as hungry as they are for money sometimes, maybe they would. But the point is I don't even know why. Why come back?
He's another guy that could step in and kind of broker the outside deal to get somebody else in. Like, he's the likable guy, and he's the guy that has all the credibility. He's got more credibility than anybody in that front office. So I don't get why he's not really a presence, but I don't know. I really don't think Breslow is very well liked in that front office. I don't think Sam Kennedy likes him. I think Breslow acquiesces a lot to what Alex Cora wants. So I can't sit here and say that Alex Cora doesn't like him. I mean, when David Hamilton gets the call up over Vaughn Grissom, is that an Alex Cora thing or is that a Craig Breslow thing? I think it's a Cora thing.
Cora.
So I don't know. And watching Breslow, I watched the whole press conference. I don't know if you guys got to see any of it. There's probably some clips on Twitter. He looked very uncomfortable the whole time. He just doesn't even look like he knows what he's doing. I think there's a decent shot he's gone. By hook or by crook.
I hope you're right about Theo, because he could very quickly, in my book, be deemed a sellout to come here and take money to really do nothing to improve this franchise in the near future.
Another thing, too, before the press conference started, I was watching the Nesson studio. So it was Tom Caron, Lou Maloney, JP Riccardi, who's a Boston area guy that was the Blue Jays GM for almost 10 years. They didn't really do much with him there, but he was on set, and then they had Rob Bradford, and the mood was kind of somber, and they were being kind of critical. And this is John Henry's own network that he owns 80% of. He can't be thrilled that these guys, all of whom who have a ton of credibility over several decades now, they're speaking unfavorably about the performance of Henry's chief baseball officer. So that's another thing that gives me a little bit of pause when talking about Breslow's future.
Well, he's only watching that, Terry, if the checkbook number is going down. And as long as that number stays consistently going up or at least flat, he may not even see it.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Let me ask you a question, because the Red Sox. No, I don't. I think he's drunk. who lost more at this deadline and who won more? So who lost more than the Red Sox? Twins or nobody? Me. And then as far as, well, yeah, I mean, obviously Red Sox fans crossed. Yeah. I don't know if it was Red Sox or if it was the Red Sox or the Twins. And then as far as the big winners, who won more than the Rangers did or the Mariners did? I mean, they're Mason Miller, the superstar closer that like was absolutely electric last year. He's gone. He finally left Oakland. Now he's in San Diego. I'm really curious to see how that goes, but at a crazy cost.
I'll say this about the Twins. I credit them for sticking their foot in the ground and having direction. They decided to sell and they sold. I mean, that's the thing that pisses me off about Breslow and these two trade deadlines is we're kind of stuck in the middle, not knowing which way to go. So we have no direction. If you're going to sell, do what the Twins did. Sell. Go get every prospect. Again, those guys aren't all going to make it. One in what, six top prospects become a big league a player? Like, go increase the chance that you're going to get a bunch of players. At least they have direction. We have no direction. We're just acquiring, you know, keeping our assets. We're so afraid to trade a prospect, which blows my mind. And we have no direction. To me, it's just going to be the same thing. Rinse and repeat. If they make the playoffs, they're going to sell us that. Hey, guys, we made the playoffs, but we're going to go in next year. We're going to tell you the same things. We're going to act the same way. We have no direction.
What sucks is, and we talked about this briefly before we came on the air, so credit Chris. I believe you're the one that said it. We lost out on trades for literally everybody. I mean, we didn't get one of the higher-end closers. We didn't get any of the premier bats. We got Dustin May, who I think is better than Paxton. I was so pissed when Paxton joined, and I'm sorry for saying the word pissed, but here we are. Paxton, I knew, was just an injury away from career over. And sure enough, that happened. Like, he was so unvaluable that the Dodgers were like, no, we're good just DFAing him. Like, bye-bye. And the Red Sox, as unwise as they were like, sure, let's give this another shot. It'll totally be better this time around. And now we have, Dustin May. I think May's better. And who knows, if May can, I don't know, take a tick or two off the damn sinker and maybe control it a little bit better, who knows where he can go. At this point, if I'm trying to find some silver lining here, because I got nothing, it's so hard.
I just hope Dustin May gets lit up the first couple times out.
That'd be so bad.
Just for the chaos. I'm pro chaos for the rest of the year. And you can say it's sacrilegious all you want. Maybe we'll limp into that third wild card spot, but you know, we're not going far.
Agreed.
Charlie's on mute.
Oh, there we go. Sorry. I haven't done that in a really long time, Terry. It's just been a fun day. I know, I miss it. That was the only highlight of today, being muted so that no one heard me cuss again. Kidding. I did not cuss on mute. Anything else that you guys want to add?
Go Sox.
It's adorable. Yeah.
Go Astros.
Go Mariners. Terry on this. Terry's this stoked is so the fire. Brutal. Oh, Jesus. All right. That's going to do it for the Bastards. Everyone have a great day. Take care.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.